welcome to this week's program of Ukraine Calling. I'm Marta Dychok for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv. As always, we're bringing you a feature interview followed by some new music from Ukraine. This week, we're going to talk about media and the Donbas. On July 6th and 7th, the 4th Donbas Media Forum is happening. This year, it's in Kharkiv. The organizer, Mr. Oleksiy Matsyuka, found time in his busy schedule to come and speak to us about this. He's a journalist from Donetsk, but now lives and works in Kyiv. Mr. Matsyuka, thank you very much for finding the time to speak to us.
Thank you, Marta, for this invitation.
Let's start with a little bit about yourself. Could you tell our listeners, you're a journalist, you're from Donetsk, you live in Kyiv. What did you do in Donetsk? Why did you have to leave? When did you leave? And what do you do now in Kyiv?
Yeah, I was born in Donetsk in 1983. And 4 years ago, I need to relocate because I had a lot of treatments from the self-proclaimed authorities. They demanded...
Threats.
Death threats, yes. They demanded from me and from our editorial office that we should recognize them as the state, independent state, and use terms, for example, government or president of Donetsk People's Republic and others. And we refused. And after that, I wrote article about the links between self-proclaimed authorities and Russia and Kremlin organizations. And also we followed a lot of people who came from Moscow to organize this so-called referendum in Donetsk City. And after that, they fired my car near my house. And
so they set your car on fire?
Yeah. And it was my, you know, like a push for my decision to relocate from that territory because it's very difficult to be as an open journalist mm-hmm. and work under the pressure and always find new ways to get the information mm-hmm. in these conditions. And I need to relocate, but my colleagues and staff, they still stay on that territory and they continue their job with the city and they send materials for our media news of Donbas every day and we produce video and short informations from that territory.
So you relocated to Kyiv, you continue to work as a journalist here and you receive information from your colleagues
yes.
who have remained in Donetsk. That's yeah. very, very interesting. I'll jump ahead to another question that I had for you. We'll talk about the Donbas Media Forum. But one of the questions that I'm very interested, that our listeners are very interested in, is what are work conditions like for journalists who are in the areas that are not under the control of the Ukrainian authorities in Donetsk and those other cities? Because that's, I mean, we know what journalists do in Kyiv.
Yeah. You know, this situation with Stanislav Asiev, he is a blogger who imprisoned last year in Donetsk City, and he's a journalist, mm-hmm. and he worked with famous Ukrainian media. And
could you tell us which ones?
Radio Liberty,
right.
And also he wrote for Zerkalo Tyzhnya,
mm-hmm. a newspaper.
Mm-hmm. And...
And he stayed in Donetsk.
He stayed in Donetsk and now he's in the prison. And more than 1 year I save under this arrest. And they say, I mean, they self-proclaimed authorities that they gave the information again about him and pending investigation.
What were the charges? What was he charged with?
Because they think that he is a spy against Donetsk People's Republic. And we have a lot of examples how new authorities from Donetsk City, their attitudes to the independent journalists. For example, my case with my car, you know, and the last news from Donetsk People's Republic about this convicted for collaboration with Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko. And they think that independent journalism, it's always... spy mm-hmm. or
a threat
something,
to their authorities.
Yes, something like this, and they ban all our activities on that territory. So if you want to work on that site, you need to be very hide and try to save silence with your friends even or relatives, because it's conditions like Soviet Union period. Yes, it's dangerous to be independent journalist. But if you recognize them, if you want to be open journalist on that side, you can, but you should promote them as an independent country, for example.
So like the Soviet times, you said. Absolutely. So as long as you toe the official line, then you're allowed to work. If you want to be independent, then you're under threat.
Yes.
These are very difficult conditions. Let's jump back to the Donbas Media Forum, mm-hmm. because you are the organizer, yep. and this is the fourth one. And I was at the one in Kyiv. I was at the one in Mariupol. I can't remember last
second
year.
Second forum was
ago.
In Mariupol, and third in Svetohirsk.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this year it's in Kharkiv. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what is the Donbas Media Forum? Why you organize it? What happens there?
No, Donbas Media Forum is a it is a platform for dialogue between different journalists and regional and even international media and different initiatives, NGO, media experts and others, people who involve in this process to build independent media in Ukraine in the current situation. And the main goal of Donbas Media Forum is to develop tolerant media, like Hromadsky Radio, maybe, and tolerant media space in Donbas and in all Ukraine, and refusal of hate speech, because after the war started, we faced with this problem, hate speech on both sides, on uncontrolled territory, there are more, and in Ukrainian part, it's less, but we have, and this time we organized this event in Kharkiv, 6 and 7 July. Kharkiv is the biggest city to uncontrolled to the Donbas region, and it's more comfortable for us to get the crowd of journalists, more than 400, and this city can
accommodate such a big event.
Yes, yes, absolutely, and. This year it will be for discussions, public discussions, and more than 25 masterclasses for as a workshops for mm-hmm. journalists, and 6 special events will hold in Kharkiv during this day, 2 days.
So who are the participants? Who comes to the forums? Is this journalists from the Donbas? Is it journalists from all over Ukraine?
They are all journalists, and mm-hmm. Some of them media experts, and some of them who work in educational sphere with the media. But majority are journalists, and this is journalists from all region of Ukraine, because we saw the situation that the problem the same in Donetsk region, in Kherson, and Kharkiv, and other cities. It's untrust media, it is disinformation, manipulation before election year and other. And this year we decided to combine all these problems in one platform. And traditionally we use this Donbas Media Forum. Of course, part of our focus, it is a Donbas questions, but other part, it is for all regional media. For mm-hmm. example, how they... what they should do after decentralization reform, mm-hmm. because yesterday it was for example, newspaper for Oblast, and now after decentralization reform, created new communas,
communal newspapers,
you know, these new items instead Oblast.
So administrative Gramada. Structure.
We knew, it's in Ukrainian language, Gramada, and. Is it necessary to create a new media for this small community that created? We don't know, but we know
this
some
is a topic you'll be discussing.
Yes.
So some of the questions, the issues will be issues facing all regional journalists, and some will focus specifically on journalists in the Donbas.
In Donbas, yes.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, because I appreciate that regional journalists face similar questions. But journalists who work in the Donbas, whether it's in the areas controlled by Ukrainian authorities or in the areas not controlled by Ukrainian authorities, they face a specific set of challenges. They're in the war zone, as it were, on the front line. These are topics you've been discussing at these media forums. But for our listeners who haven't been able to go to the forums, could you just outline what are the big issues journalists in that region face on both sides?
Yeah, first place, it is a self-censorship, I think, for Ukrainian media, and censorship for uncontrolled territory. Because
explain self-censorship for our listeners who from, you know, Canada or somewhere don't experience this in their journalism. Why do journalists self-censor?
Because they're afraid that their materials can, you know, open some controversial question for our society. For example, corruption in military sphere. For example, different anti-corruption materials about authorities who operate now Ukrainian part of Donbas. Because some audience think that during the war it absolutely not...
Not in the national interest.
It's not allowed to in national media to cover these problems as a corruption on the war conflict zone, for example.
But surely journalists are the ones who are supposed to expose the corruption, right? That's the whole point of being a journalist. Is when you see corruption, you bring it to the attention of society.
Of course, if we see, but you know this case when ex-governor of Donetsk region, Zhibrivsky, left his position and he organized this special event, like a party in the luxury restaurant in near Kramatorsk city. And in our chat with the journalist who worked in Donbas region, we had a conversation about it, but any journalist went to this party to cover this because they know all about it, this case, but they ignore it because I think that they afraid, unfortunately, to be part of, you know, to be part of conflict journalism, maybe because people think that if you gave the information about Ukrainian authorities in Donbas region now, it maybe looks like that you work in collaboration with the enemy, with the other side. But of course, it's mistake. It's my opinion because journalism, it's not a very patriotic job, and you should try to find more, even if this not very safety for. Authorities.
Well, these are the challenges of journalists during war, and that's why particularly journalists in the region face these tough questions. There are examples of journalists who travel back and forth. Could you tell us a little bit about those people who, you know, work in Donetsk, go to Mariupol? What information, can you tell us a little bit about this phenomenon?
We have a very tough traffic between Donetsk city and Ukrainian cities around occupied territory. And journalists also, they went through these checkpoints as a usual citizens, I think. And a lot of journalists work in occupied territory as a citizen journalist, not a professionals. And of course, Donetsk People's Republic, their representatives try to find every time if you took photo in, or they found these photos in your iPhone or other devices, you should explain why it is inside and others. But every year, it's not very big numbers of journalists who continue their work on the both sides because it's dangerous on our side and it's dangerous on that side because you, as under the pressure from that side, it's understand. But if you cross these checkpoints, usually It's also some suspect for you in Ukrainian part.
So if you try to do your job, you get criticized by both sides.
Yeah, but it's normal when conflict continue mm-hmm. and the media and journalists always the goal number one for both sides.
Mm. Well, this leads me to another question that I am looking for the answer to. Given the war, given the censorship, given how difficult it is to go back and forth, how accurate and complete is the information we have on the news in Ukraine? In your opinion, does Ukrainian media, the national outlets, do they actually provide accurate and objective and complete information on what's going on there? You're someone who watches this
very
carefully.
No, in Ukraine we have different types of national media. Mm-hmm. One of them, it's media that controlled by oligarchs and different companies, big companies. And other type, it's like public media. Mm-hmm. Gromadsky TV or Gromadsky Radio. And on this type, public TV and public outlets, they explain more what happened in occupied territory, how people survive, and they produce materials through humanitarian dimension, I think. But national media, big TV channels, they ignore these themes mm-hmm. because they're afraid to be more open for that territory, because they under the you know, these rules from Ukrainian authorities who look on the content and other, and if they produce this video, for example, from Donetsk city, it's also will be interest how they do this. But I have some solves for this. For example, big national outlets, in the last part of the issues,
you mean their news?
Yes, news. They show different entertainment content. Mm-hmm. They bought it from Reuters or mm-hmm. Associated Press and other. But I checked this international information agency and saw that they also produce video from occupied territory. And if you have subscription for Reuters, for example, and you big media in Ukraine, you can use this content. But Ukrainian national media, they ignore this possibility for them. And I think it's just firstly, it's not the audience on that side. It's not very interesting for them because it's not...
Sorry, on which side? People who are in
occupied territory.
Or?
People who live in occupied territory, they're not interested for Ukrainian national media because you can't use them as an audience for advertisement, for mm-hmm. example. And other position that national media... you know, it's complicated what the kind of content should be, and if this content very humanitarian or about human rights, it's not very interesting
not
for their
yeah.
ratings,
yeah.
And they do all according to their mind according to these ratings and publicity and
which
others,
is exactly yeah. the same as the way commercial corporate media works in Canada, US,
world,
Britain.
Yes,
you want to attract
absolutely.
Audiences.
But they have special programs mm-hmm. for minority groups.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and sometimes it's available. It's you can find it on the programs and other. But in Ukraine, it's just 1% mm-hmm. content of all Ukrainian media dedicated to internal displaced person, just 1%. It's not enough, I think, because we have more than 1 million people.
Oh, I think over 2
and
million.
And also other problem, for example, I IDP person, and I can't vote on the local election and can't elect the mayor of Kyiv, for example.
Mm-hmm. Even though you're a resident here for 4 years now.
Yes, I have a propiska,
a registration,
registration right. in Donetsk city, and I can't change it because I haven't property in Kyiv.
Mm. difficult situation. You mentioned something about editorial policy by these large corporate media outlets, that they're not presenting a lot of information about the war, about the humanitarian issues, everyday life. Is there perhaps lack of interest in the audience? This is 4 years now that this conflict has been going on. Do you get a sense that Ukrainian audiences are tired of listening to the war and the problems, and that's why they prefer more entertainment? I mean, is that possibly part of what's happening?
You know, I mentioned other focus of this problem. It's not a entertainment and some seriously information. It is about how national media explain situation in occupied territories, because there are live more than 2 million people in Donetsk Oblast now under the Russia control, and they live I think average life without war also, and they have not enough reliable information for them from Ukrainian side. And I mean this problem that Ukrainian big media, they're
not reaching
them.
Out
yes.
to those people.
Of course people want entertainment mm-hmm. more. And for example, Russians, they use this approach to when they create news issues, mm-hmm. news evening news, they also prepare this like an entertainment show. Mm-hmm. But in Russian language, that's very popular on the East Ukraine. And people see on this content, their content. And Ukrainian content, it's not about them. Mm-hmm. It's just about Kyiv and big politicians and others. And during Donbass Media Forum, I think we also will speak about this mm-hmm. and how create more quality content by regional media who cover small audience, but they can continue their work to involve more audience through their content, for example, in Slavyansk and other cities, small cities.
So the Donbass Media Forum hopes to contribute to improving the quality of the information. Thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to add that I didn't ask you that you think is important?
I think that if maybe, you know, my the main question that must be asked journalists who work with this conflict sensitive themes should sounds like what can media do to de-intensify
that's
yes,
a tough
yeah,
word.
This conflict mm-hmm. and I have an answer during these 4 years that I organized Donbass Media Forum. I think that don't make the situation worse than it already is. I think it's a slogan for our all professional community in Ukraine, and every time think about your future content. Is it conflict sensitive and reliable for your audience?
Thank you. That's very, very wise advice. We've been speaking with Mr. Oleksiy Matyuka, the organizer of the Donbass Media Forum that's happening on the 6th and 7th of July in Kharkiv this year. Thank you again for finding the time to speak to us, and I hope you have a very successful forum.
Thank you. Thank you, Marta, for this.
And now for some music. The legendary Ukrainian band Rutenia has released a new album. They've been making music since the late 1980s. And were one of the award winners at the first Chervona Ruta Ukrainian Music Festival back in 1989, before Ukraine became independent. Their new album appears just in time for a music festival they now organize every year. It's going to happen the weekend of 7th, 8th of July in Kyiv's Konstruktova Ploshcha in the Pudil. A song from the new album aired on Hromadske Radio's music show Pora Roku, but in case you missed it, here it is again. It's called Bodhistava. Enjoy. We'll be right back.
будки за два з українських загонів. Поїзд далі мандрує, він стоїть на пероні. Поїзд вибито вікна і поламані двері. Чорним напис на стінах: ви живіть в СССР. Поїзд далі мандрує на Херсон, Севастополь. Поїзд далі рушає на Бердянськ, Мелітополь. Поїзд далі мандрує, поїзд далі рушає, Бодхісаттву в степу залишає. А в степу майоріють тачанки, дим хострів, українські акценти, кулемети, рок-н-рол, чорний прапор, блокпости на наметах, зелені брезенти. Іде козак битим шляхом, вітер повіває. А хто знає Бодхісаттву, нехай вважає. Іде козак битим шляхом, та й шукає долі. А хто ловить Бодхісаттву, лови вітра в полі. Випивав Бодхісаттва у шинку, а шинкар наливав і жалівся, що грошей дуже мало і роботи немає. От були комуняки, була і робота. За війну він не знає, не його то забота. А потім той шинкар заявив Бодхісаттві: 200 гривень із каси пропало. Бодхісаттва, мол, винен, хай віддасть 200 гривень. А не то він бере телефон, визиває ОМОН. Полетіли стільці на прилавок, полетіли шинкарі через вікна, і портрет президента розбитий, і фінгал шинкареві підбитий. Іде козак битим шляхом, вітер повіває. А хто знає Бодхісаттву, нехай вважає. Іде козак битим шляхом, та й шукає долі. А хто ловить Бодхісаттву, лови вітра в полі.
Алло, алло, полк ОМОН, визиваєм. А хто, Владимир Владимирович, только не это провозеки. Я не знаю, что делать. Вот сюда, если подойти справа, или если подойти слева, Владимир Владимирович просит задуматься.
А потім приїхав ОМОН з Запоріжжя, і давай Бодхісаттву шукати, і палатки шманати, і по описах брати, і собаку травити. Бодхісаттву неможливо зловити. Іде козак битим шляхом, вітер повіває. Хто знає Бодхісаттву, нехай поважає. Іде козак битим шляхом, та й шукає долі. А хто ловить Бодхісаттву, лови вітра в полі.
Thank you.
Український сад вас з українських загонів. Поїзд далі рушає, він стоїть на пероні. Поїзд вибито вікна і поламані двері. Чорним напис на стінах: ви живіть, пересері.
Join us again next week. We'll bring you another in-depth interview and some more music. Tune in, and we'd be very happy to receive any feedback from you. Please write to us at ukrainecalling@hromadskeradio.org. This is Marta Dichok in Kyiv. Thanks for listening.